I think yesterday was Lakewood. That's where his
Lakewood started. So officially we're up to the Mishnah, Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. But before we start the Mishnah, let's just review what we know. There's an Iser Halah, which is codified here in the first Mishnah, even in the case of Basar Of. So it means you're not allowed to put cheese and chicken on the same table that you're eating from. Rav Yosef thought that if Basar Of B'Cholov is Drabbanon, that should be a Gzeirul Gzeira. And Abaye says that there's no raya from Chala. Now, what would be Abaye's Shita? The thrust of what you see in the Achrona, with maybe one exception, is that Abaye also agrees to what we see and what we know from Shas, that ain't goes in Gzeirul Gzeira.
Right.
So why is this the exception to the rule? So if you take a look at Rashi, Dimra Maskel Aval Hocha, on our daf here on Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, which is about, I'd say, 20 lines down from the top. You have it?
Yeah.
He says, Afagavdlo Yiboyle Lemigzer Haloso Otu Achiloso. He says that even though the argument is a very strong one, that why would you introduce a gzera prohibiting halah because it might lead to achila, which achila itself is a gzera. Nevertheless, ikol migzar, this should be the answer of Abai, ikol migzar halaso atu halas bachilas basar behema. So Rashi combines two halos. In the nature of this gzera, what we're doing is we are combining two halos, the halah of Of together with the halah of Behema. And Rashi is very meduyuk in the lashon of the Gemara, because the Gemara says, Aval Hocha, which is about six lines down from the top, Isharis le lasuke of ugvina osi lasuke basar ugvina. So the word lasuke means halah. So that's what Rashi points out, that this gzera is atu halah. And now once, and halah here means basar behema. So once you have a halah that include a gzera or an isur derabbanan that includes both halas basar and halas of, then within the context of that gzera, we understand that it might lead to achilas basar behema. And Rashi emphasizes this. He says, let's go over it again. Ikal migzar halaso atu halas vachilas basu behema. Now, where did achilas sneak in through the back door? The chimasik lehu, when he puts the gvina and the basu behema on one table, hainu achila. That's considered achila diosu lemichlinu behadadi. So we view halah in the case of basar behema as achila. If you're putting it on the table, you're going to eat it. And now we're going to include in that Isra halah, the Isra halah's basar behema, we're going to include halah's basar of.
So you're going to end up with one zera against the rice.
Right. We have this gzera of halah because of achila. And included in that gzera's halah is not just behema, it wasn't limited to behema, it's included in that is of. Now, I just want to read to you a little bit from an essay here in the Sefer, which is called Bidin Halas B'Shulchan Echad. Now, I don't know the author of the Sefer, but it's something that my son, who learns in the Mir Yeshiva, was able to pull out from this file. They have a file of writings of various Rosh Yeshiva, of Rosh Kolim, who give chaburis in the Mir.
That's quite a resource.
Yeah, so I was hoping that if he would give me a sampling of some of the material, I would get very excited about it, and it could be good material for us to learn together. But I'm just going to read to you the first two paragraphs, or not all of them, but I'll just highlight them, and we'll see if we can at least chap, you know, the main point that he's saying over here. He starts again with the Mishnah that prohibits eating basar b'chalav, and not only that, putting them both on the table. And the Mishnah, he says, is talking about one person who's putting cheese on the table at the same time that he's eating, whether it be meat or chicken. He says that later on in our perek, we didn't get to this yet, but there's going to be an additional prohibition of two people eating on the same table, and they know each other, and this one's eating chalav, this one's eating basar, and they may come to eat, you know, feed one to the other. Echad yochal mechaver, one will eat from the other. Okay, so it comes out that our Mishnah is talking about the Isra Allah in the case of basar ov on the table with gvina, and Rabbi Yosef says it must be that basar ov is d'oraisa. If it was d'rabbanan, it would be a gzera of halah to achil, and achil itself is a gzera, and that would be gzera l'gzera. And that's what he proves from the Mishnah Chala, that there's no such thing as gzera l'gzera. He writes, "Hare kan behechrech." This is Rabbi Yosef. Gzera l'gzera. Yesh kan behechrech. Gzera l'gzera. Sharei achilas basar b'chalav is the rabbanon. And now you're telling me halah is also because he might have to achilas basar of b'chalav. So it's gzera l'gzera. More answers. Eventually, that they were afraid that he might come to cook them together in what's called an ilfas roseach, in a very hot pot. In any event, Rabbi Yosef quotes the Mishnah Chala, and he proves that since there's no Isra Halah in the case of Chalas Chutz Laretz, it must be predicated on the principle of Ein Gozer and Gzeira L'Gzeira, and if a Halah to Achilu, and the Achilu itself is Rabbanan, should be mutter, and the same thing should apply now with Basar Ov B'Cholav. If you hold the Basar Ov B'Cholav is the Rabbanan. So Abai rejects it, and he says that Chalas Chutz Laretz in Eretz Yisrael is not a proof. I'm sorry. That if it was Chalas Chutz Laretz in Eretz Yisrael, that would be a proof. But here we're talking about a case of Chalas Chutz Laretz in Chutz Laretz, and that's not a proof at all. Then he writes, "V'hine anan kaimelon." Our final conclusion that basar ov b'chalav is only drabanan, and yet we do codify in Allah the Isra Allah's basar ov. It must be that we accept Abaye that in Chalas Chutz Laretz, had it been in Eretz Yisrael, there would be an Isra Allah, and we would not consider that as a gzera l'gzera. And so too, there's going to be an Isra Allah of basar ov b'chalav, despite the fact that basar ov b'chalav is only drabon. Then he says tzarach biur. What needs a little bit of explanation here is the svar of Abaye that in the case of chalas chutz laretz in Eretz Yisrael, it's worse. And he says b'pshuto abiur di ad kama sheyesh kan b'poal es hadover asur. That's if we're seeing in front of our eyes the Dover Asur, which means we're in Eretz Yisrael, so there's Chalas Eretz Yisrael to be had. You know, it's accessible, it's available. Is then there's more of a reason to institute a gzera, one for the other. But in the case where there's no Chalas Eretz Yisrael available in Chutz Laretz, then the gzera of Chalas Chutz Laretz Otu Chalas Eretz Yisrael is too far-fetched. And he says the following. The same thing is in the case of oaf. We, according to Abai, we prohibit oaf on the table, because if he puts oaf on the table, he's going to come to put behema on the table. Right? Basa behema. And that's what Rashi means when he says that gozrin halos oaf atu halos shel behema. And in the case of halos basa behema, That's going to be a problem, because halos is going to lead to achila, and they'll violate the isa doraisa of basa b'chola, because basa is basa behema. So he writes tzarech bir. We need a little explanation. Lama yefshal avash gozrin halah atu achila, the achilas of atu behema. Why does Rashi insist that the justification for the iser halah in the case of basar of is because of halah of basar behema? Why not say it in a different way? Why not just say that halah's basar of is going to lead to achilas basar of, and from achila we're going to lead of basar of we're going to lead to achilas basar behema? There seem to be two equal ways of formulating the Gemara's final maskana here, koita baye, and Rashi chooses one over the other.
I'm not sure. Yeah,
he's saying that there are two ways of going. You could say that halos oaf was also because of halos behema, or you could say that halos oaf was also because of achilas oaf. Because in both cases, you're really one step removed. So even after Rashi tells us halos oaf is included in halos behema, but halos behema itself is exera. So you're saying that from halos oaf, he's going to come to halos behema, and halos behema itself is exera. I don't know why that's better than to say the following, that halas ha'ov will lead to achilas ha'ov, and achilas ha'ov will lead to achilas behema. So he quotes the Rosh Yosef, that's the Prima Gondim, Shekosav, Shebe'emes, Shayach Levar Kach, Rak, Hagemar Rotzel Hadgish Shezelo Chashash Mitzara Isa Drabonin Shal'ov, El Mitzara Chashash Behema. So according to the transmission here of the way he's transmitting us the Rosh Yosef, I don't have it in front of me, but for a lie on what he's saying here, then Eino Chinami, it's flip a coin. You could have said one over the other. Rashi was following the Lashon Hashas, which indicates that halah of Of is Atu, halah of Behemah. The reason why the Shas is emphasizing that is because the Shas wants to push forward the Isa Doraisa. And that's only true in the case of basar behema. So if we take the halos oaf together and we integrate it with halos behema, then we understand very well that there's a gzera of a doraisi of achilas basar behema. Now, in truth, again, if you went with halah onto achila in the case of oaf, you'd also eventually end up with behema. But the Gemara wants to dramatize this and pedagogically emphasize it, so it's absolutely clear to the student of the Shas that we really have a problem here with the possibility of violating an Issa Doraisa. So if we take Halah and we put it together with Halah's Behema, then it's very accessible for us to understand. It's very understandable that we're talking about a possible violation of a Doraisa. Omnam, he says Alecha Mishnah. Now, I'm not sure what he means when he says Alecha Mishnah Nokat Shirashi Zekib Shuto. It sounds like the Alecha Mishnah is insisting that it's got, in order to solve the problem of Gzeru L'Gzeru, Rashi and the Gemara before Rashi, it has to go in that specific order. And that formulation is very critical, that the Halas Oaf is included in Halas Behema. You got to say it that way. He says, Toma Loshen Arambam, Shekosav, the Rambam Perek Tes, Milchus Machos, writes that Tama Isu Bi Oaf, the reason why you can't put the Oaf on the table with the cheese is Shevi Yomu Liochlo. Which again, according to Rashi, that's not accurate, because it's not Shevi Yomu Liochlo, it's because of Halas Basar Behema. So on the one hand, the Rambam is sort of veering away from the Lashon Hashas, and certainly cutting the cord from Rashi, but on the other hand, we're not exactly sure why the Shas and Rashi would have preferred Dafka in that direction. Because once again, you could have equally have presented a formulation in which Achila, which you lead from Allah to Achila, and Achila of Ov to Achila's Behema. And he writes, Sarachlom Besaras Rashi, the Kol Mashallah Roim is Allah to Achila, King Zer Nefredes, Zerakim Anidon Beisr Atzma. Now, Rashi wants to solve the problem of Gzera L'Gzera, because if Allah becomes a separate, independent Gzera, which the Chachamim enacted on its own, they took a vote and they said, let's prohibit Allah, then we're in trouble. Why? Because as a separate Gzera, we always have a Gzera L'Gzera problem. Yeah. You're going to prohibit Allah because of Achila. Allah is a Gzera to Achila. Well, Achila itself is only a Gzera to Basar Behema. So that's a Gzera L'Gzera. So in order to justify a Ba'i solution to this problem, what we want to do is we want to expand the Gzera of Allah in such a way that there was no separate Gzera of Allah's Ov, but rather it was swallowed up and included in the Gzera of Allah's Behema. Hence Rashi says, and that's following in the path of the Gemara's language, that we're afraid of Allah's behavior. In other words, how do we solve the problem of Gzeir L'Gzeir if we can introduce the Iser itself? So the Iser itself is Achilas Basa Behema. And the only way of introducing Allah as an Iser in the case of Ov, and not being Gzeir L'Gzeir, is by emphasizing the Iser Atzmo. I think he means the Achilas Behema. And how does he get to that? How does he accomplish that goal and arrive at that destination? By saying that the Halah included both Oaf and Behema. Once you include the Halah, the scope of that Iser Halah as an Gzeir that included not only Basa but also Oaf, then we begin to understand where the Gzeira to Achilas Behema comes into play, because within the context of this Gzeira, one single Gzeira of Allah that included both Basar Ov and Basar Behema is one entity. Now we're talking about Gzeira to Achilas Basar Ov, because from Allah we get to Achila. Omno Be'emis Barambam Mefurish Aloshin Gemara Lav Dafka. The Rambam is saying that you don't have to take the Gemara literally. Elahu Adin, the Gemara could have easily have said that Achilas Of Otu Behema, meaning that Halas Of is going to lead to Achilas Of, and Achilas Of is Otu Behema, and that's what the Lech Mishnah understood. But again, we're a little bit confused about this, because that seems to be a Gzera L'Gzera. Rashi, following in the path of the Gemara's Lush, is trying to solve the problem of Gzera L'Gzera by introducing an Achilas Behema element here. All right, that's what we got from here. Now I think we'll be able to start the mission. Ha'ov ola imagvina ala shulchan. So for the first time, we're seeing a Tana who disagrees with our first mission in the Perek and allows you to put ov on the table with gvina. V'eino nechal, you're not allowed to eat cheese with chicken, even according to this sheet, the Divrei Beit Shammai. Beis Hillel omrim lo ola v'lo nechal. In other words, Beis Hillel, reflecting what we saw in the previous Mishnah, prohibit not only achilas basar of b'cholav, but even halas of b'cholav b'gvina. Om Rabbi Yossi, zu mikulei Beit Shammai u'mechurei Beis Hillel. We have a general rule with a number of exceptions, but very few exceptions, statistically a small percentage. The general rule is that Beit Shammai are the machmirim and Beis Hillel are the mekilim. So Rabbi Yossi points out that, you know, we should be amazed here, because in this particular case, in our Mishnah, Beit Shammai turn out to be mekilim. They don't accept an Iser Halas Basar Ov. Whereas Beis Hillel are the machmirim. Now, in truth, there is a mission in Evios, or actually a perek in Evios, which is dedicated to those cases in which, to our surprise, Beit Shammai are the mekilim. And in the large preponderant majority of cases, Beis Shammai on the Machmirim and Beis Hillel on the Mekilim, but the exceptions to the rule in which Beis Shammai on Mekil are enumerated in the Mishnah in Masechta Edios, in an entire parak. And Rabbi Yossi wants to add our Mishnah to that list of cases where Beit Shammai are the Mekilim. Now, is Rabbi Yossi adding anything that we wouldn't have known to the Mishnah? I mean, the Mishnah, even before Rabbi Yossi, records that Beit Shammai are Mekil. I didn't need Rabbi Yossi, Yashkarach Rabbi Yossi, to tell me that Beit Shammai are the Mekilim here. So that's going to be the Sugya Sagamara immediately. But before that, let's finish the Mishnah itself. Then we'll start learning the Gemara. So the Mishnah says, "Be'ez shulchan amru b'shulchan she'ochel olav al b'shulchan she'soder olav esatav shil no sein zevet zad zevienem choshesh." But we've been saying this over and over again. But here's where we got it from this Mishnah. This Mishnah points out that the Yisrael law only applies to the shulchan that they're eating from. Once you put it on the table to eat, you might come to eat it. In this case, you'll eat both basar and gvina. But if it's a table or a tabletop in which you set up your milk and meat on the table, like for example, if there's going to be a self-service table, you know, like a smorgasbord where everybody takes from the table, for example, but nobody's eating off that tabletop or the shayish, is then you're allowed to put basar next to gvina. And you don't have to worry that he might come to eat it because he's not even eating it. He's not even eating off this table. Now the discussion here is going to be about what we call negia, meaning if you put milk and meat on the same tabletop, on the same surface level, then there might be negia one from the other. So that even if you won't eat them together, but they may mix together, and then obviously subsequently you'll eat it together. Now the Mishnah later on, Adaf Kuf Zayin, is going to add a condition that although you're permitted to put both the meat and the milk on the same table because you're not eating off that table, that's only on the condition that lo yigu zemazeh. And the Rambam codifies this and he says, chatchila lo yaniach kad shel basar eitzel kad shel cholov. And he's talking about a case, as the Shach explains, in ein megulim. So the two ways you can put milk or meat on the table, one is if it's an open, one if it's you have a lid on top, that's called mechusim, and the other is megulim, where you don't have a lid covering them over. And the Rambam assumes that you should be machmir not to put a container, a receptacle of basar next door to a receptacle of chalav, unless you close them with a lid. But if they're megulim, then it's also. And the Yad Avram was one of the super commentaries on Shulchan Aruch. He points out that according to the Rambam, we're going to have to say that our Mishnah that allows you to put basar and gvina on the same table, that's referring to kelim mechusim, that both the milk and the meat are covered. Otherwise, we're afraid that there'll be mixtures, you know, things will splash or touch, and that we're not allowed to do. I mean, all this is l'chatchila, but the evidence, if he did it, we're not going to say he can't eat the food. But l'chatchila has to avoid situations of negia, even off a tabletop that's not being used for eating purposes. It's just there for serving. So the Gemara asks right away, Rabbi Yossi, Haidu Tana Kama, what did Rabbi Yossi add to our understanding of the Mishnah? The Mishnah already had recorded a machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai. And clearly Beit Shammai was the Mekilim. So why do you have to tell me, Rabbi Yossi, that this is Mikule Beit Shammai? I could figure that out on my own. So the Gemara now raises a possibility and then rejects it. V'chitem, and if you'll say, Achila Gufa Ike Beinayim. In other words, maybe Rabbi Yossi is coming to expand the scope of the Machlokes between Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel. And when I say expand, what I mean is he's taking Beit Shammai to an extreme that Beit Shammai may kill him. When he says Beit Shammai may kill him, then may kill him even further than what you might have entertained. Because until now, what we've maintained is that the machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai is only about halah, but clearly ha'of olem agvina al ashulchan v'yenu nechal. Beit Shammai would be machmir and agree to Beis Hillel that you're not allowed to eat the basar ov together with gvina, even if the whole isur is only drabana. But Beit Shammai accepted the isur achilu drabana. The only machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai, the kula Beit Shammai, is only as far as halah is concerned, but not as far as achilu. That far they didn't go. That's the transmission of our Mishnah. Comes along Rabbi Yossi and he says, Mikule Beit Shammai, let's take Beit Shammai and push him, you know, all the way far away from Beis Hillel. In other words, that their kula is a very extreme, all-encompassing kula. And it means that you're allowed to eat basar of becholah. That's what he meant by saying Mikule Beit Shammai, that Beit Shammai is going to be mekil even with regard to achila. So let's read it again inside V'chitem, and if you'll say Achila Gufa Ikebenai, the difference between the transmission of the Tanakama and that of Rabbi Yossi is with regard to Achila, meaning the Iser Achila or the Heter Achila of Basar of Becholot together. The Kamer Tanakama Baal Lo Kamifli Yivachil Lo Kamifli. Tanakama went out of his way to say that Beit Shammai say Eino Nechal, meaning Beit Shammai agreed to Beis Hillel that there is an Isra Achil, in fact, Min Rabbanon, in Basar Pechalov. But Beit Shammai is coming to argue only in the very restricted case of Halah, and Beit Shammai and Mekel in Halah. But Oz Amale Rabbi Yossi, now Rabbi Yossi comes to argue and say no, they're not only arguing about the case of Halah, but Bachil Gufa. They're even going as far, and Beit Shammai is going as far as to be mekil even in the case of eating cheese with chicken, and that's called Mikule Beit Shammai Mechumre Beis Hillel. So the machlokas is not just about Halah, but it's about Achila itself. So Gemara rejects that. Why? Because of a Mishnah in Masechta Elios. So in the fifth parak of Masechta Elios, which is dedicated to the Shitos of Beis Hillel Beit Shammai, Rabbi Yossi there is saying, Shisha Dvarim Mikule Beit Shammai Mechumer Beis Hillel. He has a list of six cases where there's Machlokes between Beis Hillel Beit Shammai, in which Beit Shammai to ask surprise other Mekilim. V'izu Achas Mehen. And here he says this is one of them. And the Gemara, the Mishnah there says, what is he referring to? He's referring to Of Olem Emagvina Lashulchan V'eino Necha, which is the exact same formulation that we have here in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi has over there in the Mishnah in Edios. And according to this formulation, clearly Beit Shammai go on record as to prohibit eating Basar Of Begvina together. And he only argues as far as Halah al Shulchan. She'of Olev Agvina al Shulchan. That's the Shita Beit Shammai. Beis Hillel Omrim Lo Olev Lo Nechal. And Beis Hillel expand the Yisrachiyu to include even Halah. In any event, it's crystal clear from the Mishnah in Elios that according to Rabbi Yossi, Beit Shammai agreed that there's an Yisrachiyu of Basar of Becholot. The only machlokas is about Halah. So your answer as to why the Mishnah quotes Rabbi Yossi and what's the Chiddush Rabbi Yossi is not correct. Because if you're going to tell me that the Chiddush Rabbi Yossi is Beit Shammai and Mekil even as far as Achilas Of is concerned, that's not true, because Rabbi Yossi himself mentions explicitly that Beit Shammai agree to the Isra Achila. They only disagree with regard to Allah. So we're going to now have to come up with another justification as to why the Mishnah had to mention Rabbi Yossi here, when it's crystal clear from the Mishnah without Rabbi Yossi that Beit Shammai are the Mekil. And you can't tell me that the Chiddush Rabbi Yossi is Beit Shammai and Mekil even in Achila, because that's not so. We have a Mishnah in Edios that contradicts that. So the Gemara answers, Ella, why did the Tana go out of its way to mention Rabbi Yossi's name here? Rabbi Yossi is really just summarizing, reiterating what we know in the Mishnah. Kamash Malan, Diman Tanakama, because initially when the Mishnah presented the Machlokes Beit Sham Beit Sil, it doesn't mention any name of any Tana who is the link in the Misora, in the transmission. Which Tana was the one who brought this Machlokes and presented it to us, revealed this Machlokes? Rabbi Yossi. And why is it so important that we know who brought this machlokes? Shekala Omer Dov B'Shem Omro Mevi Guul Olam Shenemar Batomer Esther LeMelech B'Shem Mordechai. So, in order to bring the Guula, so to speak, in order to be Makayim this obligation of Omer Dov B'Shem Omro, the Mishnah mentions Rabbi Yossi. What's very odd over here, it comes out that there was a slip up in this Mishnah. Instead of mentioning Rabbi Yossi at the beginning of the Mishnah, the Mishnah is quoted Bistama, and we don't know who is transmitting this Mishnah. And then all of a sudden, the Mishnah remembers, oh, I forgot to tell you, it was Rabbi Yossi. And it's very important for me to tell you it was Rabbi Yossi because of this principle of Mevi Gula Liola. So I was thinking that, you know, weren't the Mishnahs edited? You know, why didn't, if the Mishnah forgot to mention Rabbi Yossi, why didn't they just plug it in? And I think the answer is, had they mentioned Rabbi Yossi at the beginning, maybe we wouldn't have really derived this halacha, and we wouldn't have seen the emphasis that the Mishnah is going out of his way to be Omer Dov B'Shem Omro. To really emphasize that, dramatize it, it leaves out Rabbi Yossi's name and then adds Rabbi Yossi's name to tell you, oh, I forgot to tell you something very, very important, that this machlokes was transmitted by Rabbi Yossi. However, there is another way of answering this question as to why the Mishnah didn't start with the words Rabbi Yossi Omer and fulfill this dictum of maybe of Omer Dov B'Shem Omer. Now, this other approach is based on a careful reading of Rashi. We're going to look at Rashi on the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi Omer Shisha Dvarim. I'm going to try to read this Rashi carefully. Yesh Acheros Harbi. Rashi is bothered by the following question. The Mishnah in Edios lists, in the name of Rabbi Yossi, six kulas of Beit Shammai. As if to say this is an exhaustive list, these are the only six cases where Beit Shammai were the mekilu. That's not true, says Rashi. There are many, many other cases. So what's unique about these six? Why does Rabbi Yossi focus exclusively on these six? Says Rashi, "Avol be'elu shisha lo hayu modim lo chaverav sheyia beit shammai mekilu beisil machmir." Wow! Rashi postulates that although let's write a note. Let's say there are 25 cases in which beit shammai are mekilu. Why then does the Mishnah mention 6 out of the 25? And the answer is that in those 6 out of 25, the Chachamim of Rabbi Yossi had a different tradition. According to that tradition, Beit Shammai were the Machmir, Beit Hillel were the Mekilu. That's why Rabbi Yossi transmits and emphasizes these 6 cases, says Rashi, because in these 6 cases, Rabbi Yossi had a different tradition, a different version, according to which Beit Shammai were the Mekilin. The Chacham didn't have that in those 6 cases. They had many other cases where they agree that, surprisingly, Beit Shammai are the Mekilin, but these 6 cases, according to the Chachamim, Beit Shammai were the Machmirim. The reason why now Rabbi Yossi mentions these 6 cases is because he wants to jack up the number from 19 to 25 and say, and he turns to the Chacham, he says, you restricted those, you know, the Beit Shammai Mekilin to those 19 cases. I have another 6 cases in which I know the Beit Shammai the Mekilin. Now, if you accept this Rashi, it comes out, because one of the 6 cases is Halas Basar Ov, that according to the Chacham of Rabbi Yossi, Beit Shammai are the Machmirim and Beit Hillel are the Mekilin. Which means that Beis Hillel would allow you to put Basar Ov B'Cholov on the table. If you don't accept Rabbi Yossi. So if you have the tradition of the Chachamim, then Beis Hillel, Kedarko Bakodesh, are going to be mekil in the halah. If that be the case, then we might begin to understand why Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was hesitant to open our Mishnah with the words of Yossi. Why? Because if you would have done so, then you might think that the Mishnah, meaning Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, accepts the tradition of. Just one second. Let me say it the other way around. If the Mishnah had mentioned Rabbi Yossi's name off the top, then it could imply that Rabbi Yossi is a das yochid. Why? Because we have a principle called Stam Mishnah. And whenever Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi formulates a Stam Mishnah, he's telling us that that's how we paskin. If he mentions a name, then we imply that Yochid V'Rab Malachi K'Rabin, which is a different principle, and it's no longer Stam Mishnah. So now the question is there an Isur Halah of Gvina and Basar Of on the same table? Well, if Rabbi Yossi's transmission is mentioned in this Mishnah, that means that Beis Hillel are the Machmirim, correct? Uh-huh. And if you attribute that to Rabbi Yossi, it means we're not going to accept that. We're going to accept the Chachamim of Rabbi Yossi. Do you follow? Yeah. In other words, if you didn't have a Stam Mishnah that would quote Beis Hillel, because in Machlokes Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, we always pass like Beis Hillel. If we didn't have that Stam Mishnah to tell us that Beis Hillel are Machmir, in this case against Beis Shammai, and they Aser Halah, then we would have come to the conclusion that what we're looking at here in our Mishnah is just one particular transmission, which is that of Rabbi Yossi, but in fact, Chacham never accepted that transmission. They held that Beis Hillel are the Mekilim. Again, because Beis Hillel constantly, consistently are always the Mekilim. So Lafuki, in order for Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi to emphasize that we paskin Lechumra in the case of the Isra Halos Basar Ra'ov, we needed to have some Stam Mishnah before mentioning Rabbi Yossi that would have this halacha, this codification of the halacha that we pass like Beis Hillel, that you're prohibited from putting Basar Of on the table. That's why Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi had to avoid mentioning the name of Rabbi Yossi. If we mentioned the name of Rabbi Yossi, we'd imply, well, that's Rabbi Yossi, but we don't accept Rabbi Yossi. On the contrary, we're going to accept the transmission of the Chachamim Rabbi Yossi, and Beis Hillel are the Bekilim, and we always pass it like Beis Hillel, hence the Shulchan Aruch codified halacha that you're allowed to put Basar Of and Gvina la Shulchan. In order to avoid that mistake, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi went out of his way to formulate a Stam Mishnah and then add Rabbi Yossi's name. And Rabbi Yossi's name is being added, and it's maybe Gula Liolam, Omer Dom Shev Omro, but we should know that there's a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yossi, which means we accept Rabbi Yossi, which means we accept his opinion, that transmission, that Beis Hillel were the Mekilim, excuse me, were the Machmir. Sorry, were the Machmir. That was a bad mistake. And since we accept his tradition that Beis Hillel were Machmirim, and we have a principle that not in the Machlokshim Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, we pass like Beis Hillel, hence the halacha is, you're not allowed to put Basar Of on the table together with Gvina. Had this entire Mishnah been presented as a transmission of Yossi, we would say, and Rashi points out over here, that these are the six things which the Chachamim rejected Rabbi Yossi. They had a tradition in which Beis Hillel were the Mekilim. And then you might get the impression, well, okay, Rabbi Yossi is quoted in this Mishnah, but that's a Das Yochid, and we pass like the Chachamim, and Beis Hillel are the Mekilim. No. What we're going to do is, we're going to leave out the name of Rabbi Yossi, and by omitting the name of Rabbi Yossi, we have a Stav Mishnah which transmits Beis Hillel as being the Mekilim, as being the Machmirim. I don't know why I keep making that mistake, sorry. And Beis Hillel as being the Machmirim. And since we have a Stav Mishnah recording Beis Hillel as being the Machmirim, therefore we're going to pass in like Beis Hillel. Okay. Tana Agra, I don't know, how do you read this name? Is it Agra or Igra? I think it's Agra, no? You also have Agra.
I haven't vocalized it.
So Agra is famous for being the father-in-law of Rabbi Abba. It's very interesting that somebody is famous because of his son-in-law. You know, recently my son-in-law, David Flegg, I don't know if you know, he got appointed as a shol meishiv, you know, that's like an assistant to the Rebbe in a yeshiva called Torah Chaim. So we hosted an event at our house in Arnof to kick off this relationship between my son-in-law and his excellent students. I was really impressed by it. So I got up and I said, you know, my claim to fame here is I'm the father-in-law. that's all I can claim. So you have a case where you're famous because your son-in-law, like Yisrael, is famous for Moshe Rabbeinu. So Agra is famous for his son-in-law, Rabbi Abba. Okay, fine. So what does the Brice of Agra tell us? Of ugvina necholim be'apikoren. It sounds like apikores. You know? An apikores is someone who chas v'shalom, the world is hefker. You know, the world just there's no sovereign divine ruler over the earth. You know, that's hefker. It's just the life. The world just goes on by the laws of nature. And so here also, the word apikor means hefker. I'm not sure if it's an Aramaic word. Maybe it's a Greek word. It sounds like Greek to me.
Okay, it says Steinsaltz. It's a Greek word.
Greek word. It sounds Greek, like Androgynous, you know.
And its meaning is with pachas or hatifa. Pachas or hatifa.
Okay, so that doesn't help me much.
I know. I'm just giving you a
I'll tell you what maybe he has in mind. The riff has a slightly different girsa than we do. Instead of apikoren, he has afkolis, which is some sort of like a shmata, some sort of a cloth that's used to put things inside. So in the Rif's favorite reference, it could mean that you're allowed to take chicken and cheese and wrap them up in the same cloth, you know, to carry them. You remember the old days, they had the you know, like Huckleberry Finn, you know, they had the stick, and in the back there was a what do they call it? I don't know, a cloth.
Yeah.
And they used to wrap things into it. They didn't have knapsacks the way we have it. So in any event, our girsa here, Rashi's girsa is apikoren. And apikoren means hefker. Derech hefker. Derech hefker means we don't have to be careful. We can be careless, so to speak. And what does that mean? The Gemara now is going to explain, what does it mean to be careless? What is this price of Igra allowing you to be careless about with regard to chicken and cheese? He says, Hu toni lei, Igra explains it. Agra, I guess we said, right? That was the conclusion. He explains it. Hu amar lei, below netilas yadayim, u below kinua hapeh. So that what this Mishnah is dropping, you know, a requirement that would apply, let's say, in the case of Basar Behema, but he drops this requirement, this regulation with regard to Basar Ov, is a twofold requirement of Netilas Yadayim and Kinuach HaPeh. So if a person takes cheese, for example, into his hands, let's say he wasn't cutting it or eating it with a fork, so there's direct contact between the cheese and his hands become full of the lachluchis, you know, of the shamnunis of the gvina. You better wash your hands because now you're going to take meat into your hands and you get cheesy oil onto the meat. Or, for example, if he eats meat and now he has pieces of meat or, for that matter, cheese in between his teeth and now he takes the other gender, you know, meat or milk. So he needs kinuach hapeh. He's got to rinse out his mouth. But in the case of Oaf, since in the worst case scenario, Oaf with Cholov is, or Gvina is only Durabono, we don't have to be so careful. We could be more hefkeristic and laid back, and we don't have to require an Etilus Yadayim or Kinuach HaPeh. And Pashtus, this means in either direction. I mean, the sequence is irrelevant. It doesn't matter whether you started with Achilas Gvina and you ended up with Achilas Basar or the reverse. In both cases, you don't have to separate the Gvina and the Basar with the Tilus Yadayim and Kinuach HaPeh. Why? Because which Basar is he eating? He's only eating Basar Oaf. So we go back to the Braisa. Ofu Gvina Necholim Be'apikoren means without Netilus Yadayim or Kinuach HaPeh. You can drop those two requirements with regard to Oaf in either sequence. So he has here a footnote in which he quotes Tosfos and the Ramban. They hold the Dibri Abraisa Ne'emru Bein L'inyin Achilas Oaf Acher Gvina Bein L'inyin Gvina Acher Oaf. The sequence doesn't matter. And this Braisa reflects the Shita that Ein Tzarich Hamtana, that the requirement of separating the two, let's say for example if you eat meat you have to wait 6 hours, that only applies to Basar Behema but doesn't apply to Basar Oaf. So he's eating the Basar Oaf immediately afterwards, and the Chiddush here is he doesn't have to wash his hands, he doesn't have to wash out his mouth. Now the Rosh writes that our minhag is that we don't eat cheese even after chicken, we have to wait, and the Rambam codifies that in Machos Asus Perek Tes, that if he eats it in the sequence where he starts with Gvina and then he eats chicken, that's okay. And not only that, the Rambam says he doesn't need Kinuach HaPeh and Netilus Yadayim. If on the other hand he eats chicken first, then it's as if he ate Basar Behema, and he's not allowed to eat chicken cheese afterwards until he waits a full 6 hours. So again, there's a lot more to talk about here. But let's just make our skull on Rabbi Yitzchak Berei de Rav Masharshia Ikla Lebei Rav Ashi. So Rabbi Yitzchak was a host, was a guest in the house of Bei Rav Ashi. And Aisu Legvina, they brought him cheese. So he ate the cheese, Viochal. And then Aisu Legbisa, they brought him Basar Behema, Viochal. Velo Moshe Yadeh. And the Gemara doesn't say whether or not he was Mekaneach as Piv, so let's assume he was Mekaneach. But one thing is clear, he did not wash his hands. Amri Le, so the Bnei Bayis were very surprised. Why didn't he wash his hands? But Tani Igra Chamua, the Rabbi Avo, Agra was only Matir Ofu Gvina Nechol Abapi Korin. Ofu Gvina in, Basar Gvina Lo. Obviously, this Braisa of Agra is telling us that with regard to Basar Gvina, that in regard to Basar Behema and Gvina, we have to separate them. And one of the ways we separate them is through the Tilas Yadayim. So how is it Lo Mashi Yoda that you didn't wash your hands on Rolohu? So he answers, Hani Milu Belaila. When was this price formulating the Iser in the case of Basar Behema and requiring that you dafka have to wash your hands? That's only at night where you can't see your hands. Aval be a mama during the day. Ha chazine. I look at my hands and I see they're clean, and there's no need for me to wash my hands. And that's how he concludes it. And in Shulchan Aruch Siman Pei Tes, he codifies this halach that by yom is yodayim nikios. If he looks at his hands and he sees they're clean, then he doesn't have to wash them. It's only at night that he has to wash his hands. Okay, then we'll stop here. Okay.